This hour, we're taking your phone calls with Tom T. Moore about Atlantis and Lemuria and also prayer and the ability to make it work when we come back. And welcome back, Tom Moore with us, George Norrie back with you. Tom, when we talked about some of those who escaped and went to other regions of this planet, did they have any kind of influence when they got to those other countries?
Yes, and of course, when I and my 25,000 followers made it to Egypt, then we spread out all over Egypt, and so we assimilated. There were people that also escaped from Poseidon and Aaron, and they went down to the Yucatan and down in that region. So there were people that got away there. On Lemuria's front, they had more time to escape, and so they went into China and Southeast China and Japan and all. So there were a lot of people that got away before the terrible wars came.
Let's start with the calls. Let's go to Don in Alberta, Canada. Welcome to the program. Hey, Donald, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing.
I was there when Atlantis went down. They were warned what they were doing couldn't be done. But and then later, you had a group on Shanti Shanti. They used to come on, those two young girls from the United States that made a bunch of albums and stuff. When I went to some of their classes or stuff, I had a bunch of flashbacks to Atlantis as people were trying to change it. But when I was younger, Wobsang Rampa, I read a book. It talked about if 12 people can go into collective coherence, they can create instantly. And so bring it forward, Greg Braden had access to the same text that Lobsang Rampa did, but he brought it into the current text. I'm going somewhere with this, so.
Sure, that's all right.
A little bit long-winded. I wish I had half an hour, but anyway, so that if people would focus their energy together, like when you pray, you don't do it through your mind, you do it through your heart. Like you access the above energy and you bring it out, and it's thy will be done, not my will be done. So you bring it into the physical plane to create change. It does it slowly, but anyway, so in human actually means God in man. Hue is and it doesn't cost you anything to do it. Like when you do the hue, like you draw it out, keep your back and neck straight. You can go on YouTube and find it and bring it out. So my question is to Tom, because it's not just Atlantis, and then the most recent one that was advanced civilization was India and China, and then they nuked each other back to the Stone Age, but if everybody got together, or even 12 people could get together, and bring consciousness into what's going on right now here in America and around the world, could we actually make a change, or can we not find 12 people that can go into collective coherence? Even if we had 1,000 people that are only getting it half right or 20% right, I think we could still pull it off. Any way to pull that together?
Well, in my weekly newsletter, I do have a benevolent prayer to say every day out loud about bringing peace to the world, sending light. I send light and love to every single continent, every single island, all the rivers, lakes, and streams, all the oceans and seas of the world, and I release this white light to go where it's needed the most. To light up the darkest corners of the planet so there's no more darkness, only light, and no more secrets. And you say that out loud because the human voice, scientists will one day rediscover how powerful the human voice is. Those huge blocks that built the pyramids, they were moved by having several hundred people say a chant that was at a certain tone, and that lifted the stones, and they were able to move them to the pyramids.
And you find that prayer really does work, Tom, don't you?
Yes, it's very powerful. As an example, the Gentle Way 3 book, I have nothing but hundreds of stories sent to me from people all over the world that are using requesting benevolent outcomes and saying benevolent prayers in their lives. And it's just, you just read one story after another, and it's very inspiring.
Let's go to Barry in South Carolina. Hello there, Barry.
What's happening, George, old buddy, old pal?
All is well. How are you doing?
I tell you what, George, I'm tickled to death with things the way they are right now. I don't want to change a thing. If I don't, I'll be around for 10 or 15 more years.
Excellent.
Listen, I've got a great comment. And say hello to all my buddies and friends out there in coast-to-coast land. Love you to death. Wish I'd have been on with ZZ Top, Billy Gibbons, last Thursday night. But I didn't get called on. No big deal. But it was a great show.
Thank you.
But listen, about tonight, I just heard you and your guest, Tom T. It reminds me of Tom T. Hall, the great singer. I'm sure you remember him.
Sure do.
Yep. But anyway, Göbekli Tepe is 12,500 years old. And I hear Tom talking about the Great Flood being around 12,500 years old. And I think Göbekli Tepe was covered over and silted up over these 12,000 years. And consequently, that's where Göbekli sits. It's being uncovered now. Well, they've got a civil war going on there right now. But anyway, what do you think about that idea?
I have covered that in my
newsletter. It's got some merits here, Tom.
But it's several years ago. Well, now, okay, keep in mind, we didn't mention what happened when Lemuria sank. Lemuria, when it sank, all the oceans and seas of the world rose 171 feet. I think that's what it was. And again, millions of people all over the world died. So we've had three events that where there were enormous floods. You had the sinking of the Atlantic continent. That was 162 feet, 41 feet when the island sank, and then 171 feet when Lemuria sank. So, you know, it wiped out a lot of stuff.
Does that include any tsunamis that might have been created because of that?
Of course.
Big time.
They didn't just go up 2 or 3 inches at a time. The seas rolled in. People just could not escape fast. And so that's why, you know, there was hardly any records before, 6,000 years ago?
Well,
because they were all wiped out.
And I suspect the Sphinx was around then, too.
Yep.
Because it's got erosion. It's got water erosion all over it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go to Carl in the Bronx. Welcome to the show. Hi, Carl.
Yes, George. I want to wish you and Tom a happy new year. And I'm very grateful that you took my call.
Thank you, Carl.
And my key question is about the giants that were part of this group of the Atlanteans and the Lemurians, and also that they had cone heads. Some of the the leaders of these civilizations, they were cone headed. And also the fact that these giants may be still living in places on the planet today. When the Great Flood occurred, it was to destroy all the evilness on the planet. That was God's intention, and he warned Noah about the flood, and he built the Great Ark. And some people theorize also that Noah was carrying DNA on his ark, but that there are places like Easter Island, Guadalcanal, the island of Sardinia, and South Africa, where many of these giants may be still living today. There was a report about 5 years ago that one giant was actually killed by special forces of the United States in a cave in Afghanistan, and he was then his body was put on a transport and shipped to Ellis Air Force Base in the United States for study. So So these giants may be still alive today in some places like Guadalcanal, and they existed on Easter Island. They lived also. They escaped to the island of Sardinia in an island belonging to Italy, and they may be still alive today, some of these giants. And I'd like to know more about the coneheads that, like the Egyptians, were coneheaded. These were part of the aliens that came down, the Anunnaki that came down. And we today are very afraid of the probably in 3033 the situation with the Battle of Armageddon, that could occur in the Middle East. And there are many, many questions that you may have answers to them, because I believe that you existed in a previous life at the time that all of these events occurred.
What do you think of that, Tom? Okay. Giants and coneheads.
Okay, well, first of all, and I just covered this. I'm not even sure if it's in my newsletter yet, but and it may be in tomorrow's newsletter. But I was told that when the Creator sent its emissaries to these planets and asked these ET scientists to create a body that would be able to handle these four negative energies that we live in as compared to the rest of the universe and all the other billions of other universes living in the 10 positive energies, they had the knowledge, but not the practical knowledge of how to do these bodies. So they actually, I asked, well, how many different types of bodies did these ETs test on Earth? I was told 396. Okay,
jeez.
So they I was told they had a field day. Oh, let's just try this. Well, let's try that. Let's make it a huge giant. See what happens on them. And they had the someone was asking me about these stories in Scandinavia where there were trolls that would eat children. And I was asked, was this really the Neanderthals? Because I'd covered previously that Neanderthals were cannibalistic. And I was told, no, that was another earlier race that was also cannibalistic in Scandinavia. So they went through a lot of different types of bodies before they ever settled 60,000 years ago on the Homo sapien Adam and Eve model.
Interesting take. But what about the coneheads? They sound extraterrestrial.
Yeah, I've gotten mixed up on that. I'd prefer holding back on it because I've heard different things, that people had their heads shaped to try and look like the ETs.
Right, that's true.
And so that's what I've gotten so far.
Joe Z in Richmond, Virginia. Hello, Joe's. Go ahead.
Yes, it's almost the bottom of the hour. I don't know if I can say anything.
You're okay.
I have a question about the name Toth, T-O-T-H, like the Emerald Tablets in Egypt. Apparently it's well-known in Egypt, but also it's a very common name in Hungary. I am wondering if there is an Atlantean connection between those that maybe escaped from the, I am told that the Toths of Hungary were there before Attila the Hun, very ancient times, and I wondered if you have any information about that.
I don't. Now, there was there was an Atlantean by the name of Thoth. I think that's the way, T-H-O-T-H, something like that. And he actually went to Egypt after I did with his own group, and he wanted to control things. So I've
an Egyptian.
I've asked questions, but it's just been a while.
In Egyptian, it's considered to be the god of the moon, which is intriguing.
Right.
So maybe he came down from the moon. Who knows, huh?
Yeah.
There you go, Joe. Thanks. Let's go to Larry in North Carolina. Welcome to the show. Hi, Larry. Welcome to the program.
Yes, I've got a question about the they call it the Sidewalk of Atlantis. I dove in Bimini about 1982, and they saw these perfectly square blocks that went on for miles, and then all of a sudden would drop off. At there was a Mariana Trench that goes down about 5,000 feet. And that's what they call them, because nobody it couldn't have been formed naturally because they are so perfectly square, each block. And like I say, all of a sudden they drop off, because then we dove, which is very dangerous, 250 feet down for 5 minutes so we don't get the bends.
Wow.
And look over the mountains at the Mariana Trench, and wow, it was quite a sight. I saw stingrays flying over the mountain range. But that's where the sidewalk ended, and all of a sudden would drop off.
Did you ever hear that one, Tom?
And that's probably, you know, from the culmination of the floods, because, I mean, you can even, off the coast of Cuba, I think it is, you can find ruins that are underwater. But they weren't, you know, when Atlantis sank, with the exception of the few islands, Atlantis was actually had a tail that went all the way down parallel to the North American coast, all the way to the Bahamas.
Wow!
The Bahama Islands were
huge.
Originally part of Atlantis.
That's what I heard. Was it as big as North America?
What you mean?
Atlantis.
Atlantis. It was 10% larger than Australia is today.
Okay.
That's the way I was described.
And it was a standalone continent, I guess, right?
Yes, standalone. The top of it was at around 47, the 47th parallel, which if you would look at a map today, that would be just below the southern coast of Newfoundland. And so if you would draw a line straight across the Atlantic, the top of Atlantis would not go past that point.
We're going to come back in a moment and take calls with Tom Moore. Tom, before we go, just tell folks again about the newsletter.
Sure. It's a free newsletter. You simply go to www.thegentlewaybook.com, and on the opening page, there's a box, and you can fill it out, and you'll start getting my newsletter.
And some of the subjects are what we've been talking about tonight, right?
Absolutely. It changes from week to week. It all depends on what people are sending questions in to ask for me to pose in my meditative.
Do you send it out digitally?
I send it out via email. And
okay.
I have a link that you can go to my website, and you can go to articles and news, and I have every single newsletter since 2007 archived there. I've actually had people that have read every single one.
Super. We're coming back for final calls with Tom T. Moore next on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, we're talking about hauntings and serial killers on Coast to Coast. Get ready. Steve Shippey back with us. I'm looking forward to that. George Norrie back with Tom T. Moore. Tom, what kind of advancement would Atlantis be in Lemuria had they not sunk and still been around?
Oh, well, I think they would be so far beyond us. In fact, we are just now having passed them in some things, and obviously in a couple of others, like free energy, we haven't made it yet. But as an example, some of our appliances and all are past them.
Mm-hmm.
Our TVs are better. So they had done a huge amount of advancement, even after they had their continents sink and they had to reestablish themselves on Poseidon and Aaron, and then they even had to have crystal mines in near Hot Springs, Arkansas, to get crystals to to replace the ones that were lost in the floods.
They would have been the dominant countries on this planet, wouldn't they, today?
Certainly Atlantis, probably Lemuria, although Lemuria was much more spiritual until that last 1,000 years.
Had Plato not written about Atlantis, would we have known about it? Aside from your reincarnations, of course.
I doubt it, because he brought forward, you know, things that were just kind of talked about at that time, and he put it into writing. And I think ever since then, people have debated, oh, was he really talking about the times that he was in, or was he really talking about a real place that existed?
And was he the only one to write about them?
I don't know.
Because he's the one who's always mentioned. Nobody else has ever mentioned.
Exactly. And that's because he laid it out. You know, they were where they were located. And also, you know, there's ancient accounts even of the fact that there was this mud that floated on the surface of the ocean for, you know, maybe 200 or 300 years when Atlantis, the continent, sank. Boats were not able to go any farther than the entrance to the Atlantic Ocean from the Mediterranean.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Matt in Bellingham, Washington, to get us started. Matt, go ahead, sir.
Hey there. How you doing?
Good.
I have a quick question. He had mentioned that he and his wife are going to be reborn 2,500 years in the past, and I wanted to find out more about how that works. Can people be reborn in any time period, future, present, past? And
yes.
Is it free will and no outcomes are predetermined?
No. These lives were set up for us like 10 million years ago. So, and actually that life for my wife that we were talking about is about 12,500 years ago. And then the next life that we will be in, that I will be with her, and it's a future life for me, she's going to be Haile Selassie, and I'm going to be Queen Menen, his closest advisor, because that was the start of the Zoroastrian religion. And
Haile Selassie from Ethiopia?
Yes, exactly.
Jeez.
And then another future life for me, in this life, a friend of mine that I've known since we were in junior high together, we're going to have our next life together. I'll be his mother, and we'll have a very loving relationship. But the next life after that, he's going to be L. Ron Hubbard, and I'm going to be Sarah Northrup, his second wife, who helped him write the first Scientology book.
How do you know these things?
I just ask. They tell me. And
who's they?
I communicate mostly with Gaia, the soul of the Earth, for Earth type questions. My own guardian angel, Theo, and then I have an extraterrestrial who's a member of my soul group. His name is Antura, and I have a whole book about him called First Contact, Conversations with an ET, and he tells me all about the Star Wars that actually happened, and he's orbiting in a 3-mile-wide and 20 stories tall mothership right now as they're taking millions of readings every day.
Let's go to Joe in the Bronx. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, George, how are you?
All righty.
Good. Thanks. Yeah, Tom, I'd like to know more about Atlantean technology, not just military-wise, but medical treatments, et cetera, and have any of these technologies survived to this day, and how are they being utilized?
Okay, I can only give you a small answer because, keep in mind, my degree was in finance, not in science. Okay, so scientific questions are a little more difficult for me. But I was told, of course, they had these healing centers in Atlantis that used various forms of lights, and that's the best way I can describe it. But they were healing centers, and so they were more advanced than we are in that area, and continue to this day. Hopefully, we will catch up, you know, in the next 25 or 50 years.
As a reincarnated Atlantean, though, did you witness any kinds of special medical treatments or anything like that that you might be able to recall?
No.
No, you can't recall?
No. And, you know, I have to ask these questions, and I haven't really asked that particular question. So maybe that's something for me to ask in the future. In tomorrow's newsletter, I'm going to have more questions on Atlantis and Lemuria, just to sort of, they're like follow-up questions.
I mean, like the Star Trek wand that they waved over body parts and stuff. I wonder if they had that kind of technology.
I don't know. All I know is that they had the colored lights, and that was the best description that I got.
Next up, let's go to Charlie in Chester, New Jersey. Hello, Charlie. Welcome to the program.
Glad to be on. I had something to mention to Tom. I believe in prayer very much.
Good for you. I do,
but
too.
I pray to Mother Nature, the goddess Mother Nature, every day.
Right. That's okay.
And I believe she gave me an advisor, a teacher named Eleanor. She's a spirit. And she's been teaching me things for a while. And one of your callers mentioned Armageddon. And Eleanor taught me about something about Armageddon, which I'd like to try to mention.
Go ahead.
Now, Eleanor taught me that Armageddon brings about the end of life on Earth. But she said I should be for Armageddon because if it doesn't happen within, let's say, the next 500 years, the communist spirits are going to conquer all the nations on Earth and make them communist, and Satan's going to rule over the world as his evil empire, communist world.
Well, sounds a little bit like the Book of Revelations, Tom, doesn't it?
I suppose. I've been told that the Earth experiment, which is what we're part of, is going to last 7,000 more years. And by the end of that 7,000 years, I've been told that I'm going to be in charge of the final cleanup squad that will bring Earth back to its pristine original beauty. And Earth is going to become a vacation spot for not only all over this universe, but even other universes, because Earth is the gem of our universe. So we got 7,000 more years, and we'll all be off the planet and back at our home planets, helping them to raise their vibrational levels.
Did they have? Go ahead.
We're not going to have an Armageddon.
Did they have computers and technology back 30,000 years ago?
Yes, but not as advanced as we do today, from what I understand.
Really? So we're more advanced than they were then with some certain things?
Yes.
Interesting. Next up, let's go to London, Arkansas. Herb's with us. Hey, Herb, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Well, hey, thank you so much, Mr. Norrie. I feel I should call you George. I speak for millions of people who welcome you into our homes every night, because you bring us a point of view that we can get no place else. We cannot get the information that you provide for us.
Well, thank you.
And we appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
But anyway, my question for your guest, I kind of came to the conversation late. It's something I've been dealing with for 60 years, and I'm 72. But just when I reach consciousness, this has troubled me. There is a relationship between Atlantis, Christianity, and the Egyptians that I have never been able to figure out. I know that The nature of time and space has always interested me, but that relationship between those three parts of the triangle have always intrigued me, because I know there has to be a connection someplace, but I have not been able to find it yet. I'm relatively new to this planet. This is only my second incarnation. I was a pirate before and probably will be a starship captain in the future. But I'm just curious what your guest might think about that, because he seems so knowledgeable about this area. And again, thank you so much, Mr. Norrie, for the joy that you bring so many of us.
Thank you, Herb. What do you think of that, Tom?
Oh. Here I get into trouble. I have covered Jesus in the past, and every time I do, I lose people on my newsletter. But Jesus was the greatest soul or the greatest person to ever walk the earth. Okay, and that creator of our universe after Lemuria and Atlantis destroyed themselves, sent out a call for someone to come and teach unconditional love to the people of the world. And so the soul of Jesus came, and so the soul fragment that was Jesus was three times larger than our souls, and came to teach unconditional love, to love everyone, no matter their race, their politics, their anything. He taught love your neighbor as thyself, and he really meant not only the neighbor next door, but the one around the world.
Interesting take on all of that. Let's go to Danny in the Bronx. Go ahead, Danny.
How you doing? Great show, George. Look, I sort of never bought into the Atlantis theory.
Mm-hmm.
If only just to sail around a continent, people had to know it was there. Plato couldn't have been the only philosopher, the only writer. Nobody else wrote about this place with all its advancements and all of that?
Apparently not. That's one of the things we were talking about earlier. But
They drowned. The people that could talk about it drowned with, you know, either 160 feet or 41 feet or 171 feet of water rushing in on them.
And really in those days, 30,000 years ago, Tom, I mean, the people on other continents didn't know about the other continents as well. If they were,
no,
I'm sure they didn't know about Australia, for example.
No, and they just, you know, lived on the coast. You know, if you look at the world today, look how populated the coasts of the world are. And they all got wiped out, cities, towns, villages.
I assume you passed and died, too, in one of your lifestyles.
Oh, yeah. But because in order to balance having helped sink Lemuria, I had to have 87 balancing lives, and that included being around, you know, when Atlantis sank and Poseidon sank. You know, I had lives all during those times.
Your book's still available, Atlantis and Lemuria and the Gentle Way with Pets?
Yep. They certainly are, and I greatly appreciate being with you tonight, George. I encourage people to, to get the book and read about that time period, because, again, subconsciously, people have not wanted to even talk about that time period because they were subconsciously afraid we would go back and do the same things and destroy ourselves. But we're not going to do that. That's never going to happen.
Let's hope not. And did you get out these lives with past life regression?
Did I get what?
Did you find out about your past lives with past life regression?
No. I simply did it in going into this alternate meditative state and asking the questions.
Well, it worked for you. One more time, give out your newsletter.
Sure. to www.thegentlewaybook.com, and on the front page, there's a box to fill out, and fill out the box, and then be sure when there's a message that comes back saying, please confirm, be sure to confirm that.
Great, great. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate you being on the program. Up next, psychopaths, hauntings, you name it, we've got it on Coast to Coast AM.